You're listening to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast from Top Music. Tune in weekly as we interview music teachers and experts from around the world to explore creative activities and ideas that build learning connections in students. Our integrated music teaching approach will deepen your students' understanding of musical concepts, engage them in critical thinking, improve their reading and performance, foster their curiosity, and prepare them for a lifetime of music making. Hi, teachers, and welcome back to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast. I'm Tim Topham. It's great to be with you for another week. And some of you know we've been renovating part of our house and staying in a friend's house for a while, but we've just moved back in. So if you can hear bangs and crashes and noises in the background, I do apologize. We are living in half a house, and anybody who's listening who's been through that process will know just how fun it is, I say through gritted teeth, having no kitchen and half a bathroom and those kinds of things when you're living with kids. Such fun, but we're going to get through it, and things will be back to normal, hopefully, in the next couple of months. So again, apologies if the audio quality is any less than it might normally be. Now, I actually wanted to start with an exciting update from one of our Evolution members. So I've had our Evolution tier for a couple of years. It actually developed out of the standalone course that I created for music teachers who are interested in developing their own online businesses. It's called Music Teacher Startup, and you can find it at musicteacherstartup.com if you'd like. But it's now integrated into our Evolution tier. And I wanted to give you an update on one of our Evolution members and the success that they've had, and actually one of the products that they've developed, which is really exciting. So Ellen Sample is one of our members. And she was actually motivated by the introduction that I created to the ideas of Forrest Kinney and also Dr. Edwin Gordon. And she went and developed a fully digital complete year's studio curriculum for small groups of 4 to 6 year olds to provide a playful, natural approach to internalizing theory. So the package that she's created contains 36 detailed 30-minute lesson plans with all these vibrant activity cards, manipulatives, MP3s, and everything you need to teach the littles to think about music before they play, and everything is done. The only thing that's missing, as she says, is a piano, a printer, and you. So if this is something you might be interested in yourself, if you're keen to potentially explore whether you might be able to offer programs to 4 to 6 year olds, I mean, there's a lot to be said for the power of teaching younger students who may then move up to either one-on-one lessons with you or group lessons with you as older students. If you're interested and you think you have those skills in that area to teach small groups of 4 to 6 year olds, it can be incredibly powerful, both from the business perspective, but also from the knowledge that these students pick up before they start actually really diving more deeply into their instrument. And one of the challenges, of course, is to know what you actually might teach these groups of kids. And so this is what Ellen has created. So her website is musicalmindsresources.com. And if you did want to actually check this out and take advantage of it, she's offering $50 off as an introductory sale with an additional $50 for listeners of this podcast. And the code you need is 50INTRO, 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 one word. That's over at musicalmindsresources.com. Do go and check it out. And this is the kind of thing that I love helping teachers create. And Ellen has done an incredible job. She has worked so hard, and she's now having it tested in schools as well, in classroom situations. So it's really, really exciting. And if, of course, you'd like to become an Evolution member and have my support in building a business like this, then you can head over to either Music Teacher Startup to explore that course, or head over to topmusicpro.com and choose our Evolution tier. Either you can access the Evolution tier through either of those two pages. Now, it's great to share Ellen's journey because this month, as you know, we're talking all about business on the podcast and on our blog. And this episode, however, is going to be a little bit different because I wanted to just break up our usual programming with a really quick, short solo show. And the reason I wanted to do this was I was recently interviewed by Barry Carroll on the Music Career Show, and I'd highly recommend you check his show out. The title of the show, if you want to Google it to find it, is called McDonald's Still Advertises with Tim Topham. But you can find his show. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. Barry's fantastic, and it was great to be on his show. But one of the things that he does for his guests is asks a quickfire round. Now, we actually didn't get time to dive into the quick fire round, really. I think he maybe asked me one or two questions from it. So I actually wanted to answer those questions here because they're actually really fun. They're not all music related. They're kind of more quickfire life general questions. But I thought you might find it interesting to hear my answers to some of these questions that Barry put together. And just before I dive into the quickfire round questions, I did want to mention the talk of the town around music teachers at the moment, which of course is the sad demise of Tanara, one of the apps that we've recommended before, and which has been very popular amongst music teachers. I did want to let you know that, yes, there's not much any of us can do about this. It will be closing in November. We've tried to contact the company, but they're just there's radio silence, unfortunately. So we are recommending you do have a look at alternatives. And if you are on our Facebook group or watch me, follow me on Facebook at all, you will have seen just last Friday, I interviewed Robert and Christopher from Practice Space. Practice Space have developed an incredible app that has been promoted on this show before. I've had them on the podcast. They have a great product. But most importantly, they have spent last week, they did the most impressive cramming job on writing website code I think I've ever seen. They've developed an export and import tool for Tanara users that is saving teachers hundreds of hours, literally. So, well, probably not hundreds, maybe tens of hours anyway. If you've got thousands of assignments and media and everything over in Tanara and you're planning to manually download them all and then upload them to a new app, stop, don't do it. Head over to topmusic.co/practice. It's going to take you to the Practice Space website and you can start a free trial there and you can use their free exporter importer. It does everything for you. You just log into both apps and you press go and you come back a couple of hours later. And everything is done. It's magic. And the other other interview that I shared last Friday was actually with Donna, one of our Top Music Pro members and also one of our certification cohort participants. She tested it out for us and she talked about just how easy it was and how little stress it provided and just what a savior it's been for her. So if you are interested in a quick teacher's view on Practice Space and that tool, then head over to our Facebook. Actually, it is on YouTube, I think, and our Facebook group where you can watch that interview with me and Donna. There are, of course, other options. If you're teaching online lessons and you use Tanara, then I'd recommend checking out Muzi, M-U-Z-I-E. Sam Retty, who runs Muzi, has been madly building, in fact, before the Tanara news came out, building practice tools into that. So that offers an opportunity for online teachers to both run their lessons through their online platform and also have all the practice and assignment tools available. And Nicola Canton recently launched an app as well about practice. So there's definitely some options for everybody who is sadly going to have to shift away from Tanara, but I did want to share that news with you today. All right, let's hit the quickfire questions. So question one. If you could live in any era, which would you choose and why? Well, this is an easy one for me. I would say now. I've heard of people when they've been asked this, oh, you know, I'd love to live in the 1900s or 1800s or something. You know, life was simpler then. But you know what? There was no washing machines or showers or hot water or sewerage. And there was a lot of pain and suffering and incurable disease and all those things. So I would never say that. I would choose to live in this era now. There is so much opportunity, especially for us online. I couldn't be doing what I'm doing now 20 years ago, certainly not 30 years ago. We're living longer. We are generally healthier. I think there is so much and so good, so many good things about this current time and place that we live in right now. I think one of the only downsides, particularly as a parent, is things like mobile phones. Just adding so much challenge to our lives, but also, you know, providing lots of solutions. And the incredible power of technology in things like ChatGPT is incredible. And that's only come around in the last year or two. And then we have, you know, the constant challenges of new things like vapes and all those kinds of things coming out. So, look, there's always going to be challenges of living in any era, but I can't look past this one for the opportunity it's been able to give me. Okay, question two. If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be? Well, for me, it would be to be able to switch off my worrying brain, to be more carefree when I want to be. What I find is, and perhaps some of you feel the same way, I envy people who can just switch off and not care about things as much. I'm very passionate and caring and want everything to be right. And if I have to organize a project or even just this renovation, you know, there's lots of moving parts to living in another house and then moving back into the house that is half built. And all of these things, I take on a lot of that project management in our family, and I, you know, it does stop me going to sleep sometimes when my brain just is thinking, oh, I've got to do this and that, and oh, I forgot to do that, and this needs to plug in here, and oh, what about if this happens? And my brain, that's how my brain works, unfortunately. The great thing about that skill is that I'm able to work out complex projects, and things generally will run incredibly well. I'm thinking back to when I ran my Piano Pivot Live conference the start of January 2020. That was a huge amount of planning, a lot of moving pieces, and I know I had a lot of sleep-disturbed nights. I wouldn't say sleepless nights, but nights when the brain just doesn't turn off. And but I should say, all these things that I do and I put all of that care and attention and worry into do tend to work out really, really well. So the outcome's great. Sometimes the process, I just wish there was a switch I could turn off in my brain. And I know some of you may be thinking, well, Tim, you should do meditation. And yes, I am aware of that. In fact, I did a meditation course, probably 15 years ago, which was incredibly instructive for me. And it has given me the ability to be able to quiet my brain. But I probably need to remind myself to do it more, because yes, it does work, but it's hard to be in the habit of doing, isn't it? Perhaps you felt the same way. Okay, question 3, what is the most adventurous thing you have ever done? And this one is an easy one for me, because back in about 2004, I trekked to Everest Base Camp. It had been a lifelong dream to see Everest with my own eyes, and I still distinctly remember the trek. You actually trek from, you fly to a place called Lukla, which has the most incredible airport you will have ever seen. The runway is on an angle, fairly steep angle. At one end of the runway is a mountain, and at the other end is a complete drop-off. It's literally cut into the side of a mountain. So planes can only take off going down the runway and flying off into thin air. In order to get enough speed, they need the gravity of the runway to be on an angle. And likewise, when they come into land, the gravity sort of slows them down before they hit the mountain in front of them. Anyway, you fly to Lukla, then you walk for, it's about a minimum 14 days. But along the way, you have to keep acclimatizing. You have to keep stopping for a day or so to let your oxygen levels and your heart and lungs and everything acclimatize to the new elevation that you're at. And it's quite a process. But I do remember coming up out of a place called Namche Bazaar, which is one of the sort of first staging posts when you start doing some acclimatization walks. You see Everest for the first time in front of you. And my goodness, it was an incredible moment to behold, and I will never forget it. And that's still days away from actually getting to the base camp. So actually getting to the base camp was quite an ordeal. It is quite high. I did it in winter because it's the quiet season and we had our long break, so the January. But it was freezing, minus 32 or something most days. It was bitterly cold. And I don't know if any of you have seen base camp. You may have seen it. There seems to be more and more movies about Everest out there now. If you've seen it, it's really quite an unattractive place. It's built on a glacier, and glaciers are just dirt and dust and rock covered ice, and it's not flat or level. There's no real sign. I can't even remember if there's a sign, but I mean, you can see prayer flags and an upturned helicopter and things like that, but that's about all you get. It's not got a very good view of Everest, if a view at all. You have to climb a nearby peak to see that. But anyway, that was my most adventurous thing that I've ever done. It'd be very cool to go back one day. I've always thought that I'd love to climb 1 8,000-meter peak in my life. There's quite a few of them in that region, obviously. Everest is at 8,848 meters. So not that one. I don't want to do that. But an 8,000-meter peak would be pretty amazing to do. Okay, next question. What is your favorite animal and why? Well, I think just about every listener of the show would know exactly what I'm going to say here, and that would be cats. I absolutely love our two cats, but I'm pretty picky about the cats I like because I've met a lot of cats who are scaredy cats or just not very pleasant or not very friendly and kind of just do their own thing. And that's not the kind of cat that I would say is my favorite animal. But our two are incredibly loving. If you're into cats, you may not realize that they are an Australian breed. They're called the Australian Mist, M-I-S-T, a mix of Abyssinian, Burmese, and a bit of house cat, and are bred to be low allergenic and very, very friendly, talkative. They fetch, they bring you things, they greet you at the door, and they just want to be with you and on top of you and loving you all the time, which I think is just amazing for cats. And, of course, it's also really annoying when I'm trying to film and video and record because Bronson, as you know, and Coco now, his sister, love, as soon as I hit that record button, their ears prick up and they look over and they know, okay, it's time to annoy Tim. It happens so much. You would you probably wouldn't be surprised, but I think you'd be shocked to know how many outtakes of things I have to do that don't make it to the final products, particularly the videos. Hi, everyone. I wanted to take a moment to let you know about an amazing community of music teachers ready to welcome you over at Top Music Pro. Top Music Pro is the global hub for music teachers looking to connect, learn, grow, and be challenged in both their teaching and studio businesses. Community members save time by accessing hundreds of step-by-step lesson plans, creative teaching frameworks, business guides, online courses, and workshops. We offer training in topics as diverse as music technique, lead sheets, website building, intermediate repertoire, group teaching, and special needs teaching. We also save you money through our extensive discounts, including those with Music Notes, Sheet Music Plus, Music Room, Office Depot, Tonebase, and many more. And if you like sheet music, all our members get a free book of studio-licensed, beautifully engraved sheet music each and every month. As a valued podcast listener, you can check out the Top Music Pro community free for 14 days by heading to topmusicpro.com, clicking Join Now on our studio tier, and using the special coupon code IMTPOD23. That's all one word. So that's IMTPOD23. We can't wait to welcome you inside. What's the funniest joke you know? I don't know if I'm a bit weird on this one, but I don't actually know or tell jokes. I don't try and remember jokes. I just don't care for using that brain space for remembering jokes. And when people ask me for them, I can never tell one, and I've just never been that kind of a person. Is anyone else like that? You know, wave your hand or you give me a hug or something. I'm not sure. I don't know if that's bad or what, but I enjoy being humorous in what I do, but telling jokes has just never been my thing. So there you go. Okay, what's the best vacation you've ever taken? All right, I've got two here. I've got one, a parents' kind of adults retreat one, and I've got a one that we did with our family. So let me do the family one first. The first time we took our two boys to the United Kingdom, I think was a huge highlight. It was about 3 years ago. It was in winter, of course, because it was our summertime. But we got to see, you know, do all the sights and the Tower Bridge and the London Eye and all of those things. And our boys got to meet all my family. So my family's English. My husband's family is all English as well. So there was huge numbers of parties and get-togethers and dinners, and they were able to meet our whole extended family, which was really, really cool. And it's always great to go back over there. The other one that I mentioned was a solo trip, and that was to an incredible place on King Island, which is a small island between Melbourne and Tasmania in Australia. And we stayed at a place called Kitawa Lodge, K-I-T-T-A-W-A, if you want to look it up. Amazing, incredible place. If you're in Australia and you want a really luxurious retreat for a weekend or a few days with a special person, it is incredible. I actually taught on King Island for a year. I was head of a school campus down there, a residential campus for year 9 students. And so I know the island really, really well, but I'd never experienced this kind of level of service, all food included, incredibly cozy lodges, great views and, you know, showers and baths where you can sit with a huge picture window looking out onto the rough seas below. I think it doesn't get better than that. Okay, I have four more questions to go. What is the biggest risk you have ever taken? Now, this is a good one because being fairly entrepreneurial all my life, I do tend to have more of a risk-taking ability, would that be the right word, than a lot of other people. But I think for me, the biggest risk would be starting Top Music, actually. When I started building this company, I was employed as head of keyboard at Xavier College here in Melbourne, and it was a great role, very well respected, well remunerated, all those kinds of things. And so it was quite a risk to leave that in order to go full-time in my own business. At that stage, I had already launched and sold quite successfully my first course. Some of you listening probably bought that course. It was called Teaching Pop Piano. It was all about, yes, obviously how to teach pop for classically trained piano teachers. And that did very well towards the end of 2014. And that gave me the buzz to build the membership called Top Music Pro, which launched in March 2016. And it was soon after that, mid-2016, that I started thinking, okay, I think it's the time is right. I need to actually go and do this. But it was, it was a really big risk. And looking back, obviously, I can't imagine life not having taken that turn. And I think when it comes to risk as well, I think it's this was a sensible risk, or as sensible as it could be, in that I had launched the membership, I'd already got members in, and I could see growth happening. And so I knew I was on a trajectory. I didn't just drop everything and go, all right, I'm just going to try and start this new business. That would be very risky. So this was a risk, perhaps protected somewhat by having already sold some of the membership and could see the direction that it was heading. So yeah, if you're in that kind of similar position as well, where you're looking to make a big change like that, then I do encourage you to, unless you have savings to back you up, it's always best to start as a side hustle and build something on the side, see how it goes, see what traction you can get, make sure you can get traction before you do take any of those big life decisions. Okay, what is the most meaningful thing you have ever done for somebody else? Well, this one for me is an easy one. I think a lot of you know that I'm a foster parent. My husband and I have actually adopted our two boys through the fostering system. And so I believe that is the most meaningful thing that that we have ever done for our two kids. And we, as foster carers, had other children with us as well. And we always wanted to share our lives with children who are less fortunate than us. We are, you know, lucky to be where we are in life, and we really realize that there are so many kids out there who are struggling and either unwanted or neglected or whatever it is, and we really wanted to put up our hand and say, yeah, we're happy to help. What can we do, kind of thing? And so that's been an incredibly meaningful but incredibly challenging process for us. As any parent will know, you could take parenting challenges and then multiply them by goodness knows what multiplier to get some of the challenges that you might have as parents in fostering and adoption sort of areas. And I know that it's been incredible, actually. I've met through my work with music teachers a lot of other adoptive families and parents who are teachers. And it's been just wonderful to connect on a really deep level with a number of people, particularly in our community, our Top Music Pro community, who are going through some of the same challenges and experiences as we are. So you guys know who you are if you're listening. Thank you for the support that you've given me, and I really do appreciate it. The last two questions. What is your favorite memory from childhood? Oh, this is actually a pretty easy one. For me, it was about helping my dad around the house. So dad is a very DIY kind of guy, do it yourself. He would fix, paint, repair, pull apart, all of those kinds of things. And I had a very similar mind, and I think I still do. I love working out how things work. I love learning. I love pulling things apart. And I really think all of that came from my dad. I would help him paint and put up scaffolding and pull apart the computer and anything I could do. Anything that he was doing, I would be there, taking the rubbish to the tip, going to the hardware store, whatever it is. And I think it's, I've got to say, you know, we're talking right at the start about the era you want to live in. One of the downsides of this era, I think, now, is that this doesn't happen so much anymore. I don't think dads, or mums for that matter, have the time or energy so much to do so much DIY. And a lot of the products and things that we buy are almost built to throw out, which is truly sad. So some of that has been lost, I guess. And just simple skills like showing kids how to, if they drop something down the drain, how to get it out of the S-bend in a sink, how to change a tire on a car. I think these are all life skills that our children should know, how to oil a hinge, how to, you know, any of those things. These are all things that our children should know, but it's really easy to either just do them yourself or get someone to do them for you, or sadly, you know, get a new thing instead of try and repair the old one because it's just not worth doing. So I think that's a sad thing about our times today, but it's one of my favorite memories from childhood. I learned so much and I just have a Mr. Fix-It kind of mentality now, which our family finds very useful and probably funny. All right, final question. If you could learn any skill, what would it be? This is an easy answer for me because I've always wanted to have a helicopter pilot's license. About 20 years ago, I did my first trial lesson in a helicopter and absolutely loved it. I've always wanted to do it. I actually thought that I might want to become a commercial pilot before I came into music teaching full time. And now I've been starting to think again about it. And just the other week, if you're on my Instagram, you will have seen me in a helicopter. I went to do a first lesson just to see if I'm still keen. And yes, I very much got the bug and I would love to do it. Unfortunately, it's a bit of an expensive process, but I think, you know, one of the things that I do value and encourage teachers around the world is to keep learning and keep challenging yourself. I remember distinctly how valuable it was for me. I was thrown into teaching a classroom of year sevens at one of the schools that I taught at, trumpet and trombone. Both instruments in one room with about 20 kids. And I had never played either of these instruments before. And I kind of groaned and I really didn't want to do it. But the process of actually teaching myself two instruments and getting some help from some teachers about how to play them and then teach them was incredibly useful for the rest of my music teaching that I was doing on other instruments and in other areas. I learned an absolute heap from it. I remember just going back and trying to learn some guitar. Again, learning new things from scratch can be so useful, such a great skill. It's a great reminder to us as teachers about what our beginners are going through, but it's just great to keep your skills up in different areas. So I would encourage any of you, if you have a hobby, to keep that hobby up, whatever it is. And that's not playing your instrument. We should be playing our instrument anyway. But having another hobby, one of my other big hobbies is cycling. I absolutely love cycling and keeping fit and riding up mountains for whatever reason. I just, thoroughly encourage everyone listening to keep up your hobbies, keep the gray matter ticking over, and that's my skill that I would like to learn in the next, next five years maybe. That'd be kind of cool. All right. Well, there you go. That's my little quickfire questions. Thanks to Barry Carroll from the Music Career Show for letting me use those questions. It's been fun to think through them and answer them. What would you answer to some of those questions? I'd love to hear either on any of our social channels or heading to our show notes page, episode topmusic.co/episode348. You can leave your response. Did any of my responses align with what you actually were thinking? Are we the same with our love of cats or that we've been to Everest Base Camp? We'd love to hear from you. All right. right, well, that's the end of the show for this week. Something a little bit different. I hope you've enjoyed it. Next week, we're back to our interviews, and I'm interviewing someone with about the best name for a business month focus. Her name is Abigail Prophet. You may have seen her online. We're going to be talking all about her Patreon and Etsy stores, the things that she sells, how she's done it, and how much they contribute to her whole business and the whole experience that she has as a music teacher. So that's coming up next week. Until then, you've been listening to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining me, and I look forward to speaking to you next week.
How do you keep up to date with all the latest trends and research into music education? How do you connect with other teachers around the world and make sure your teaching stays fresh and relevant for students of all ages and stages, both now and into the future? I created our Top Music Pro membership to be the one-stop shop for music teaching resources, training, support, and community, and I'd love for you to come and join us inside. With over 40 comprehensive training courses, hundreds of teaching demonstrations and lesson plans, free monthly sheet music, discounts, and all the business and pedagogy support you could ever need, Top Music Pro is the community you've been looking for. If you're ready to level up your learning from the podcast and join thousands of other teachers in our global network, head over to topmusicpro.com today. If you enjoy this show and want to hear more of our work, be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening today. For links and resources mentioned in this episode, visit us at topmusic.co/podcast or check out the show notes. I'm Tim Topham, and this is the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast, a production of Top Music. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy your week ahead, and I'll catch you next time.